Welcome to the Artist's Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm a screenwriter and filmmaker who's always looking to maximize my time and potential as I work to break in. In this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Jenica Schwartzman. Jenica's an actor, producer, writer, author, and mom. She's a member of both the Screen Actors Guild and the Producers Guild of America. Some of her notable films are Parker's Anchor, which was released through AMC Theaters, Ridge Runners, which was released through Lionsgate, and Gordon Family Tree, which was a film festival darling. Jenica has produced 10 features alongside her husband Ryan, with two lined up for this year, and she's acted in most of them. On top of all that, she's got a book out called Movie Baking, the indie work-at-home parent filmmaker. Jenica Schwartzman, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to talk out art stuff with people. This is great.
Awesome. Thanks to Hillary Pingle, who I interviewed in a previous episode, for connecting us. Jenica's made a bunch of stuff and really good movies. She's written a book. She's done all sorts of things. Very impressive. You weren't getting the roles you were looking for. And as a result, you decided to take charge of your own career by making your own films. Tell me how you put that vision into motion and take the first big leap that you took.
Well, I was lucky enough to be an actor in Los Angeles, and it was unfortunately at a time where we had a content slump during the writer's strike. And so my husband and I are both actors, and we're working on things, and movies aren't getting finished, or they aren't the kind of roles we really want to work on. And so it was less about I'm not getting what works for me, and more about I see a problem, and I'm not going to be able to get in and make the things I want to make unless I literally make the things I want to make. And I think the biggest jump was confidence. I was on a movie set. I was like the lead actress and I was having a great time. And I was looking around and I was going, I know how to do this. I've made some short films. I've made internet content. I know how to participate in making films. I know teams and great people who want to do this and really, really cool personalities. It's really just a matter of putting really cool personalities together. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I don't need the confidence to say I can do this myself. I need to have the confidence to say, I know these really amazing humans that I can all put together and try to raise money and like publicly take a huge risk that's very embarrassing. You know, early crowdfunding wasn't necessarily taken seriously.
Yeah.
And so in 2011, 2012, when we were going to do some crowdfunding, it really was just jumping in and taking the risk and being public, learning some things the hard way, but just doing it. And it's really about people. This industry, even though it's definitely about products, it's definitely about people. And putting people together is something that I have the confidence to say, like, I think this will work. And I think when you believe in people and like radically give them confidence and boost and grace, I want to support you and I want to do this together. Like everybody else works really hard to make it happen. So it wasn't just I need more for me. It's, I think I can participate in this and I want to, and it's going to take a lot to be, you know, in a leader position to pull people together and push. And luckily I just had like really cool people that, you know, cause you already know a lot of cool people when you're an artist because you just attract each other.
I definitely have had that same experience. I've made a couple of short films, and when I was putting together the group of people that were going to help me out with it, it wasn't cashing in favors. It wasn't, well, I kind of helped you out with this thing, so you're going to come and help me with this thing. Or, you know, we've known each other for X amount of years, so you're just obligated to help. I think it seems like when someone is ready to take a chance, people are just happy to help prop them up.
Yes. One thing I've been saying for a little while now, and I feel like it's very true, is people want to get on a train that's moving. Nobody wants to help you build the train unless you're 22 and you have the energy, which I don't. But like, I want to get on a train that's moving. I want to make this thing and I'm going to do it with or without you, but I want you. You are the best person I want to work with. You have these amazing skills and talents. Prop up and give you the actual like love that I feel and just say, I want you to be part of it. And people respond to that because they want to be wanted and they want to be a part of something. And so as long as you're moving forward, I feel like people will jump on that train. And it just takes a lot of risking humiliation and risking concern about how parents, and I mean parents in like a general sense, I don't need to care what my parents will think. I can be reckless with my finances a little bit. I can be reckless with my time. I can do something that seems immature and dumb because it's real and people want to do it and I want to do it and I want to make a really good project. And when I'm gone, I want there to be a movie that has thoughts and feelings that I care about.
To your point about parents, I know that you and I are both parents. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, when I'm doing something, whether it's a film or writing or sitting here making a podcast, all along the way, I'm setting an example for my kids who, whether they want to do this stuff or they want to do something completely different, I think it's putting that work ethic in them from a young age that you can make stuff happen if you're going to go out and at least try.
Yes. And it's not like, you know, life is, we're parents. Life's hard. No matter what you're going to do, if you're going to run an orthodontic like center, if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to do anything, life is really hard. And you can choose what you want to do. And just deciding and riding that wave of inspiration, usually artists are like, well, I want to try this thing. I want to try this podcast. I want to do this thing that there was a problem I saw. Nobody else had the thing that I wanted that I was able to access. So I want to make it for me and my network. And if I make it good for me and my network, maybe it'll mean something to somebody else and maybe it'll like move on. But that's how all things should be. There's no apples at the market. I would love there to be apples at the market. Maybe I should plant some apple trees. You know, like that's all everywhere you go. When you're a doctor, you want to publish things and you want to do trials and you want to do research. When you work at this like really cool sanitation station at whatever, like you want to do community events and barbecues with you and your coworkers. Like doing is exciting. Yep. Just choose and ride the inspiration and do and just be okay with failure because then nothing will stop you until a door slams in your face.
That goes to my next little point here is you've done at least 10 feature films that you've been involved in, yeah, in some way of the production. And I know that the indie film world is not easy. There's crazy distributors out there. There's left turns and right turns. And tell me when something didn't go the way you hoped, how do you manage to stay on track and stay focused towards your goals?
So don't burn bridges. Process things in your home. Things are hard and failure is every day. Every single gersh darn day is failure. And you can focus on that and take the time to work out those feelings and go for a jog or take a nap or eat something, whatever you want to do that like you got to process, but you have to find your way back to doing. Everything that's happened, I would say, was only an education. We've had some bad relationships with the distributors. I'm a distributor now, and I recognize that bad things are going to happen with me, and I'm just going to have to just continue moving forward and putting people first. That I had distributor cheat and take a lot of money. I've had a distributor lie. I've had these things happen, and none of those things were like, my career is over, my life is over. All of those things are, oh my gosh, how do I process this? I got to figure out how to process things. No matter what you do in life, you have to figure out how to process it. What works for you, your body, your mental health, your family, whoever lives in your home is going to absorb a lot of that stuff. You just have to do more and hear other people in this exact situation say, whatever's happened to you, it's been worse for me. I can guarantee it's been worse. And you just got to figure out how to get past that. You know how like your body is overwhelmed with these emotions, you got to cry it out and some hormones leave your body in the form of your tears. You got to get that stuff out of you in order to keep going. And there's so much unexpected issues with success. But if you're not measuring yourself with a measuring stick of financial success or the measuring stick of award prestige success, if you're measuring yourself with how many people you've met and how many people you say confidently the name of somebody in their family or the name of their dog, or like if it's people first, then nothing's a failure, no matter how bad it goes, because you were in war together and bonding with people is kind of easier because there's going to be so many shit shows in your career, no matter mm-hmm. what you do. So it's just really got to be what measuring stick am I using and how do I get back to that after tragedy?
There are no real failures or rejections because if you're being told no for some reason, you already won because you did make something. You already took those first steps and it's not really a closed door. It's just go down to the next door.
Yes. And doors are going to slam. And you got to just learn how to keep running forward until that happens. I think that's the hardest thing, is remotivating yourself into it.
Like I said, you're a mom. You probably have a million things going on outside of film. And despite this, you told me you have two films lined up this year. And not that long ago, you released a book called Movie Baking, The Indie Work-at-Home Parent Filmmaker. You got a lot going on. You wrote a book while you're doing all this other stuff. How are you making time for this and keeping your drive and your energy level so high?
Well, every human has lifestyle commitments. I don't like saying lifestyle obligations, but it almost comes out of my mouth all the time. Lifestyle commitments are people you love, places you love, things you do that make you a person, that make you interesting, that make you worth watching or being a part of your art. And I think that if you're not invested in those things, nothing you make's really going to like impact people who invest in those things, which is the general audience of non-artists and artists who consume. And there's so much that we do, but everybody is different. Like, you were telling me that you have strategy with time and writing. And my husband, Ryan, and I, we don't have exact strategy with time. We're very fluid about, oh, for a few nights, we got this deadline. We had this person at AFM say, yes, I want that script. And we're like, no, that pitch was just a treatment. The script's not done with that. Look at the six other scripts that we, oh, darn it. And so he like buckled down and he wrote a script in 42 hours.
Nice.
Like, we just, okay, this is an emergency. Me and the kids are going to go do these things. We're going to live this life. It's just a matter of constantly communicating and prioritizing. During the pandemic, I had so much on my plate with the kids and life because I'm the primary caregiver most days of the week. And then I decided I wanted to write a script, so I did. And then I wanted to write another script, and I did. And then, if you ride that wave of inspiration, you do let things fall their places. But if you're just a person who's not judgy and you're a person who can just get over that you're going to drop balls in other areas for periods of time and that people are going to think of you that way, if you're just over humiliation, then you'll keep doing it. And so Movie Baking is a book that I was blessed to write over 3 years because I was doing articles for MizInTheBiz.com. And I love that site. It's a bunch of like 300 female and female identifying like people who write and give and share advice and are inspired by each other and interviewing other like females in the film industry and most artist industries. And so when I was writing, it was one article a month. And then 3 years later, I was like, I've got a lot of articles.
Yeah.
I can put this together in a book and write like 10 more articles that are specific to what's going on right now, which happen to be all very pandemic-y and focused, which is amazing. And then put it out. And the book release tour, I was going to be at the Barnes & Noble, at the Americana. I was going to be at the Barnes & Noble in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I was like going to go to universities. I had like a whole book tour and a book launch party. I had all of these things scheduled for March 20th, 2020. So a few days before my flight, I had to cancel. And so the book tour is gone.
Yeah.
Everything is gone. And that's just part of life. And that's exactly the book covers, being having lifestyle commitments and not being able to make time. And it's okay to have phone calls with your kids in the room. It's okay to go to work with your kids. It's okay to do things. And now everybody does. And I'm like, this book is about now. You know, there's silver linings. You know, good things can happen out of horrible, you know, beauty from ashes. There's like so much that can go right if you just do. My book is a whole lot of, you can do, look, I did, other people did. These are the people that I learned from and I can point to. If you just see it, you can be it. Gina Davis's Gender and Media Institute at cjane.org, they talk about women seeing themselves, children, you know, girls seeing themselves in media reflected changes like, oh, there's a scientist on TV. And then that generation of girls grows up and like is interested in science. Like, if you can see it, you can be it. And so a lot of what I do is just exposure and witnessing that this is how I do, this is who I am and how it's working. Please just look at it, judge it, whatever. And then when you're doing it, nothing's going to stop you. The confidence from seeing something is just inspiring to be like, oh, this parent wrote three scripts during a pandemic. Oh my gosh, I don't want you to be overwhelmed. Like, it sounds amazing. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just, that's how I work. And then it'll be 2 years before I write another. Like, you know, just everybody's different. Some people write for 20 minutes every day. Some people write for 4 hours every day. If I could, oh my gosh, I would, but I got kids. But I write all at once in a week and a half, but it's in my brain for 3 years. So like, we're all doing our own thing. Just do it. Just do it, whatever it is.
It's outlined already in your brain.
Yeah. Every minute I'm watching this movie slowly, reworking, getting stuck, having writer's block in the shower because I shower like once a week. So it's, you know, everybody does their thing and just do your thing.
What would be your single biggest piece of advice for artists and creators out there in terms of perseverance and work ethic?
The biggest piece of advice is there is no industry standard. There is no measuring stick. Who you are and who you were created to be in this moment is good enough and is right enough to do the thing you want to do. It's going to change probably, but you just got to do. And giving yourself permission and freeing yourself up from like the shackles of culture telling you one thing or the other or something you got to be, just put down all those measuring sticks. Put down all of those industry standards and just do you. Because if you look at any artists that have stuck out for all of history, it was people who did them. And it did not make sense at the time. Most of them died before they became famous. Most of them were like, you know, women or, you know, traditionally oppressed groups that will never be seen in history, but they influenced artists of the time just by being. Just be and stop worrying about measuring what that means.
Awesome. Anything else that you want to talk about or shine a light on or plug or anything?
So I've got movie Parker's Anchor online, iTunes, Google Play, wherever we watch movies. And The Man in the Trunk that came out last year, those were our releases in the last year. The Man in the Trunk is a thriller and Parker's Anchor is a romantic dramedy. And I would say that would fill most people one way or the other, the genre that they want to watch. It's a movie made by artists who love to make art. And they were in theaters and they're really great movies. So look them up online.
Awesome. Jenica, thank you so much for coming on today and talking about all this with me.
Thank you for having me. I love talking.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. And please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic and check out theartistsworkethic.com.